Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Sarah Fenske. When the coronavirus began to overwhelm New York City, Nikki Glaser did what a lot of young New Yorkers did. She fled. In Glaser's case, she fled for her childhood home in the St. Louis suburbs. And 4 months later, she's still there in De Pere, along with her parents, even if she did recently fly to Los Angeles to host Jimmy Kimmel Live. Not your average quarantine here. And so she joins us today to explain why she just can't quit St. Louis. Nikki Glaser, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Sarah. It's good to be here.
Did you ever dream that you would still be back in St. Louis as July is now about to turn into August?
No, I really didn't. I thought it was going to be such a temporary thing. And it's just turned into actually like such a blessing, because I just never thought there was any time in my life that I could ever live in St. Louis again doing what I do. It's just always, you know, either New York or LA. And I've been flip-flopping between those two cities since I graduated college. And I just always kind of resigned myself to the fact that I would only visit for the holidays and not really get to see my niece and nephew grow up and watch my parents get older, watch my parents grow up. And now it's like I'm kind of settling in and learning that I can actually have this career from St. Louis. And it's pretty great.
Do you ever think about making it permanent? You know, maybe moving out of your parents' house, getting your own place here in St. Louis.
I know. Yes, I do. I actually just made the first steps this morning of like calling apartment places and setting up showings of apartments.
Really?
There's only so long you can stay at your parents' place. And just there doesn't seem to be a pressing need to get back to LA or New York, even though those cities are kind of getting it together, maybe, or, you know, at least New York seems to maybe be getting it together a little bit more.
Yeah.
I just am like, let me just commit to this. And I'm not touring as much for stand-up. I host podcasts. I'm looking into other kind of means of making money as opposed to, you know, just planning on being on TV constantly in LA or New York. I can have this career out of St. Louis. So I think I'm going to make it at least semi-permanent.
Wow. So do you feel like the industry you're in, that it's more open to people working remotely because of this weird situation where now everybody's kind of working remotely?
Yeah, I think it is. Finally, I think, you know, there's a couple opportunities I've lost out on just because I'm not in New York or LA and especially New York, like, doesn't want anyone from Missouri stepping into their state right now.
Yeah, you'd have to quarantine for 14 days if you went to visit there. That's crazy. But probably also very sensible. You might be ridden with disease here.
I know. When they announced that, I was like, wow, I can't go back even if I wanted to, because that's where my apartment is just sitting empty right now. So it was kind of like nice to be like, okay, I have to commit to this. And yeah, I guest hosted Jimmy Kimmel Live last week, and I just flew there on it felt like a safe flight, and I felt safe going there just for like a couple days. And then I felt really good leaving. Usually I just kind of, when I do something that exciting, it's kind of depressing to go back to the life where you don't have that much going on. But this time it felt like, oh yeah, I get to go back to St. Louis and just where it's like relaxing. And I don't know, I just feel so much refuge here. And I don't know, I guess it's just being a little bit older and I think I'm glad to have all of the hard work in terms of establishing myself in the business behind me. If I was 22 right now, I would be a lot more angry about having to be in St. Louis. But as a 36-year-old woman, I'm like, it feels real nice.
Yeah.
It's such a slower life, and it's just, and my family is here. I really love it.
I feel like we sucked you back in. This is a huge coup for St. Louis. Like, we finally get our very own celebrity who actually lives here. We can stop talking about John Hamm and, like, you can be our girl. Are you up for that?
I am so up for it. Bob Costas, move over. That's all I've ever wanted was, you know, I got into this business to feel less invisible in a world where I felt kind of invisible. You know, like, I'm kind of realizing that all as I go back home, or I've lived back home is so many of the feelings of high school and feeling just like a dork who no one saw and not having a purpose and not feeling special, like all those things that kind of jettisoned me into pursuing this career where you just seek approval from strangers, I've kind of come back to that feeling and realized that it's kind of an empty pursuit, and that I already have the love and acceptance of the people that I seek that from, essentially, which is like my family. And I don't need as much of this fame and like pursuit of fame as I thought. All I want is that St. Louis loves me.
You want St. Louis level fame. You don't have to be Angelina Jolie.
St. Louis famous. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I really don't. I think it's enough. I just want girls from my high school to be like jealous of me.
Oh, and I'm sure they are jealous.
And that's essentially what I've...
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding. But like, am I? I mean, it's really funny because I've been like getting into this Taylor Swift album as a lot of people have been doing right now. And someone just asked me like, how are you enjoying it? Cause I'm a huge Taylor Swift fan. And I always lamented not having her voice when I was in high school, because I just think she's like, just speaks for like this kind of nerdy girl who feels like a misfit and feels like she doesn't belong. And I was like, oh man, all I had was Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. Like when I was in high school, it was like, oh, I really could have used Taylor Swift. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, this is my, I feel like I'm in high school again. And now this album has swooped into my life and is like helping me through this time of like feeling like a high schooler again. And
yeah, you're getting to do it right. Like now you can be the popular girl who's like nice to the homely girls. And like, you know, you get your second chance at doing high school.
It really is. It truly has felt that way. It's felt very redemptive in that way. But I just, I'm kind of just here to stay for now.
Well, I've got to ask you, I mean, you're making it sound like this is just pure love of our bucolic atmosphere here in St. Louis. But I know you did get a deal, and this is for a show. This is a show about a girl who gets canceled and has to move back in with her parents in St. Louis. Is this all just research? You're going to be building something even bigger than before.
It's true, Sarah. I like almost a year ago, I sold a show idea for a scripted show about a girl who gets canceled because she mouths off on stage and says the wrong thing and loses every single, she was about to get a late night show and she loses everything and has to move back to St. Louis with her parents. And I just thought it was like almost a sci-fi pitch in terms of like the chances that could happen. And then here I am living that essentially. And I am writing it as I'm living at home, and it's wild. Because I am blurring the two like I am the character that I'm writing about, but the lines are very blurred, and I'm writing scenes and then having that fight with my dad, I'm writing like bleed over into me getting coffee in the kitchen with him and just having an attitude. Like I really am living a sitcom right now. It's just my ex-boyfriend moved back to town from Los Angeles. He's originally from St. Louis, like a couple months ago. And it's like, it's just wild. Like the real story is actually more interesting than the one I'm writing. And it's more layered and dramatic.
You thought this was sci-fi. This turned out to be prophecy. I mean, now this is all happening. So are you and your high school boyfriend, is this going to be the happy ending that every St. Louisan dreams of? Like, are you guys, are you going on dates?
It's so sweet that you thought I had a boyfriend in high school. I never had a boyfriend in high school, but he was like he's actually a guy that I met in New York, and he just happened to be from St. Louis. And I truly do love St. Louisans so much that I tend to gravitate towards them in whatever city I live in, and we find each other. And so I ended up dating this guy that was from St. Louis, and we met in New York. We moved to LA together, and then we were broken up for years. And then we just both ended up back here, and we've been hanging out, but I don't think it's not so far. It's not the happy ending that maybe I have dreamt it to be. But, you know, it feels like it's like destiny, but I'm keeping my options open.
OK, so I was getting a little ahead of myself there. And also,
I've been there, Sarah. Don't worry.
and yes, I guess I made you sound cooler than you were. I apologize for that. But
I didn't have a boyfriend until I was 24, unfortunately.
But I mean, this does sound like just the most amazing plot and almost one of those things where it seems too cutesy if it happens. How are you going to bring the edge to it so people know, well, this isn't just this dreamed up scenario. Like, I've got the realism of I'm actually taking notes on the annoying things my parents do.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to just make them different than they are, like, are in the script, because the script that I'm writing, I'm writing it with another writer, and she cannot believe how much my life is mirroring what we're writing, because I'll be writing with her and in the background my mom will be yelling at me about moving some thing into my room because it's cluttering the living room, and she's like, "We literally just wrote that scene." I'm like, "I'm living this. It's too much." So we've really made some efforts to make the characters very different so that by the time this airs, my parents aren't like, "How dare you?" and like sue me for, you know, defamation.
Yeah, you don't want to be kicked out. I mean, you still don't have that other apartment yet. So you got to make this work for now.
It's a really good point. I am doing everything. And, you know, I go to therapy. I meditate. I do so much work on myself to just not like kind of sink back into the teenager I was when I lived back at home. Because everyone listening knows how when you go back home, you turn into a child again. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like this petulant little teenager, like slamming doors, screaming at my mom. Like that's it. It's gone to that. And I'm 36 and it's no way to behave. So I really have to watch it because I have to be like white knuckling it most days just to be a normal adult and treat my parents with like respect that they deserve as like other adults that I'm living with. And they're not just, you know, my parents who are, you know, just riding my case. But it's hard. You know, I'm sleeping late. I'm kind of just taking up space. I just don't want to get to the point where they're like, "Can you please move out?" So I'm making the first step because I feel it coming, Sarah.
So I got to ask though, I mean, this whole idea of, you know, you have to move back home because you've been canceled. This was your fictional premise, but this yes. has to be something that is on the minds of anybody working in comedy today. I mean, I've seen some of your Comedy Central roasts. You've said some sure. vicious stuff and it's hilarious, but some of it skates right up to the edge there. Do you worry about getting canceled?
Yes, Sarah, every day. It's just wait, like it because the rules change every day and because I change every day. It's like some of the things I was joking about a decade ago. I've been doing this now 16 or 17 years. I mean, it's been a while, and there were things that were acceptable to joke about early on in my career and even not so early on. I mean, I've watched episodes of The Office that make me so uncomfortable, and I don't think that they could exist on TV now in terms of like treatment of women in the workplace. And there are things that even 5-7 years ago would be like jaw-dropping to see on a network TV now. So mm-hmm. I just hope that if I ever do get canceled or something comes out that people that I would be able to apologize, like, because I feel bad about some stuff that I've said before. I was young and just trying to shock. And, you know, when you're not getting laughs early on, you go for groans because it's better than silence, you know?
You get
so
desperate.
I think that, yeah, you just want some kind of noise from the audience. So a lot of my comedy early on was just based on just eliciting any kind of reaction, because a laugh is so much harder than a groan. So I went, like you said, I went blue a lot of times, and I regret some of those jokes, but I also feel like deep down I always come back to the fact that when I have those moments of like, oh my god, that one thing I said, what if that resurfaces, or what did I say that, or are they overthinking, I just deep down I know I'm a good person, and I don't want to hurt anyone. I've done enough self reflection that I'm not scared that, oh my god, am I a terrible person and someone's gonna discover it. It's like I've made mistakes, but nothing that I think I couldn't amend. I hope
whatever skeleton is in your closet, it's one that a well-crafted apology might get you past it.
Yes, exactly. I and I hate to say that, like I'm already planning apologies, but I mean, you know, I'm allowed to have made mistakes, and I also am very open to people apologizing for the mistakes they've made in across the board in any kind of way. It's the problem is you just don't get those apologies. It because people aren't sorry, and deep down they are bad people. So that's where I differ from some of these people that have been canceled.
So some people should be canceled, but not you.
Well, you know what? My opinion is if you haven't learned from it and mm-hmm. you don't see the victim's perspective or the person who feels offended by your joke, if you can't empathize enough and get to a place where you can admit if you're only like, feel like a victim in that you've been canceled, you can't see it from the other person's perspective or even try to, yeah, okay, well, bye. We don't really need you anymore. Or if you're not willing to get honest with yourself about where maybe that thing, that behavior came from or that joke came from and why you don't want to live like that anymore, and you can't and you're an artist and you're not able to articulate that in a screenshot of a notepad where you write out an apology, then bye-bye, we don't really need you. Like, it's time to look back and grow from these things. And if you can't, I don't really, I don't know that you should lose everything, but I'm not really interested in consuming your material anymore. But that's just me.
Yeah, that seems like a fair standard, I have to say. I haven't heard it stated that well. So thank you for putting this whole thing in perspective for me.
Thanks.
We have just a couple minutes left here, and I did want to ask you about one thing. You mentioned how hard it is to have that silence when you're trying so hard to land a joke. And I know right now we're trying to do socially distant comedy, you know, virtual comedy, nights at comedy clubs where there's fewer people in there. I know you gave this a whirl at Helium here in St. Louis after they reopened. Was that totally weird, not having as big of a crowd as you knew you could get just because people have to be 6 feet apart?
Yes, the socially distanced comedy is weird. You know, performing in clubs, I'm not doing it anymore. I just don't feel good about performing indoors. I know some places are doing a good job of it, but I was just, it felt too anxious for me. And all you want when you're in a setting of performing comedy is for everyone to be as comfortable as possible, because it's just, the audience is already so awkward for you because you're up there performing and they're like, I could never do that. And they're just, you want them to be at ease. So I don't do that anymore, but it did feel, when I was performing at Helium with the 6 feet apart, it felt like when I first started comedy and like open mics where everyone just kind of sat scattered around, and it just kind of it humbled me a bit. But now I'm actually embarking on a tour of drive-in movie theaters and like at a racetrack, like outdoor shows, and so I'm actually loading my schedule with those for the early fall and late summer. And I'm just going to get a tour bus and have just a select number of friends. So there's going to be ways to do it healthfully outside, but I don't know. Stand up for me, I'm kind of like, well, it was fun while it lasted. See you maybe in 5 years or something. Like, I'm not counting on it coming back anytime soon. So I'm exploring other ways to express myself. I don't know if those ways are going to pan out, but I'm lucky to have lived during the stand-up boom, and I'm sad to kind of see it dwindle, but there's other outlets for sure.
Well, we're all going to be rooting for you. We have decided now you are our celebrity. You are the St. Louis celebrity. So, Nikki Glaser, thank you so much for joining us today. And please don't leave.
Thank you so much. I will never leave now that you've established that. I can't wait for my plaque. Thank you, Sarah.
We are going to get you that plaque. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. That's 90.7 KWNU.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. Choosewood.com.